We figure maybe it was the sex talk last week. Maybe that was just too much, and people were like, okay, we're not coming back. But we didn't really talk about sex. We talked about everything around sex, sexuality, gender identity, all of those kinds of things. So tonight, we're starting a whole new series. Forget sin. Forget what the Bible says. We're moving on. We're moving on. That was last time series. We finished that series.
Everything you learned.
Everything you learned out the window. It's just like school. However, that sheet of paper that we gave you, there's still a few copies of it left, but make sure that you have at least a copy of that, whether you filled anything in or not. Because down the road, whenever you come against the decision you have to make, whenever you come against something that you are wrestling with, going through those steps, making sure that you're following through those steps will keep you not only out of trouble, but it's also going to keep you following what God's plan is for your life. Somebody who came up to me last week and said to me, I totally get it now. And I asked them, would you sit in this chair and share that story with everybody? And they're like, and I get it, because a lot of times when we're wrestling with things and we finally kind of come to a realization that what we're doing is probably not healthy, we sometimes don't want people to know what that was, because it's embarrassing. But we had... Well, last week, over the years, over the weeks, over since September, we have multiple people in this room that are battling all sorts of issues. And we put on a good face, we come here and smile, we even kind of put up with each other, but we're really struggling, we're really wrestling with things. And so I asked them if they would share it, they said they'll think about it. I said, what if I just videotape you and we play the videotape? Well, either way, that's embarrassing, right? So I'll never force any of you to share, but I can tell you that probably everything that you're going through, there's somebody else here going through the same thing. They could be encouraged by your story, could be helped by how you're dealing with things, even if you haven't got it all together and it's not all perfect. People want to know that they're not alone. And the reason we feel alone is because nobody actually shares who they are. So we think everybody else has got it together. Isn't that what social media is all about? Putting out our best side. We put out our best image. Why? Because we are afraid if we put out our worst image that people will befriend us, or they will make fun of us, or they will mock us. Well, in the Bible, of course, we know that God's plan for our lives is a very unique plan. What makes it unique? Because before you were born, inside your mother's womb, he knit you together, created you for a very unique purpose on this earth, and put everything into you that he wanted for your life. That's amazing. If you truly believe that, it gives you purpose, it gives you hope, it gives you an ability to analyze situations differently. Why? Because you're not an accident. The freckles on your face are on purpose. The size of your bones are in purpose. The color of your hair is on purpose. The color of your eyes is on purpose. What family you were placed in was on purpose. Even if that family falls apart, it was on purpose. The country you might have been born in, the nationality that your parents were, God uniquely knit you together to create you for such a time as this. 2018. You'll roughly live. What happened to 2018? Is it already 5 months into 2019? It's almost over. It's the school year. I go 2018, 2019. Okay. But you were born, most of you, 2001? 2001 are the 12s, right? So you're all 2000 babies. Well, in my day, we would never have thought we were going to hit the year 2000. We thought everything was going to die in the year 2000 when the clock turned over from 1999. Man alive, we had news reports. We had to download software on our computers. We had to update everything because the world was coming to an end in the year 2000. And yet, here you all are, born after the year 2000. And if you live, like Grandpa Grumpy and our family, to 104, then you will be alive in 2119. Think about that. 100 years. If you lived 100 years, which isn't unheard of today, people are living longer and longer. Grandpa Grumpy, he wanted to die at 92, but the Lord kept him around. And I laugh at the things that he saw, even from the time he wanted to die at 92 to when he left at 104. New great-grandkids. Trump got elected. Like, come on, who thought that was going to happen in his lifetime, right? So, you are here on a purpose. And this series, we want to finish the next few weeks called Others First. I'm just making sure. Now, we're not sitting in our grade groups. We're not sitting by gender, which means you got to talk to the people sitting around you because you chose to sit there. So, here's your question. What challenges do you face dealing with relationships with other people your age? What challenges do you face in dealing with... Now, when it says others your age, we're talking peers. So what challenges do you face dealing with relationships? Now, it could be something that you face, like they scare the babies out of me, like I don't talk to anybody, right? Or it could be gossip, it could be things that people do to you or around you. It could be situations you find yourself in. But what are the challenges that you face dealing with relationships today? Because they're different than what I face. Yeah. I had my, you know, we used to do gunch pulls, you know. We'd grab a guy's underwear and pull it up and try to put it over the back of his head.
That's what bullying is. Yeah.
It was bullying, but, you know, back then, we didn't call it bullying. We just called it fun. Right?
Fun.
Everything's different. My life was different than your life. So, what are your challenges? You have 2 minutes, talk. You got to get a little closer together if you're going to talk. You go over there and help them. You go over there and help them talk. Yeah. Take a stool if you need it.
All right.
Hi. Hello, sir. How are you?
All right, shout them out. What are some challenges? What are some challenges? Clout. Clout?
Clout.
Oh, clout. Having power. Having.
Oh, see, he knows! What? He doesn't know.
I'm a a teacher. Clout. So you're being cool, being powerful, being in touch. That's a 2-cent word. I'm not sure why it's so hard. Okay, what else? Shout it out. Girls, over there, what'd you come up with?
Gossiping or, like, talking behind people's back.
Okay, is that still a problem today?
Yes.
Wow, it still goes on, eh? Thought we would have nipped that in the bud after 50 years. Okay, what else? What are the challenges? What? They said bullying. Okay, so bullying comes in all forms now. Used to just be simple. You'd rip a guy's underwear. But now, it's cyber, it's comments. I got an email from a mom today saying, yeah, somebody's calling my daughter a cow every day, and she's not eating. I'm like, where was I? Like, I sit in my classroom, but I never heard it. Right?
That's terrible.
What was that?
How do you say it?
He said,
not even grass. Not even grass. No. Oh, for the cow. The cow eats grass. Nope.
We're from when that's funny.
That's a Filipino thing?
No, we're
from. That's not funny, though.
Okay. Because cows eat grass. Okay, what else? Bullying, clout, power, gossip. Pressure. What pressures do you still face? That's not a pressure. That's a term. What kind of pressures do peers make you feel? What? Vices. So when you walk down the halls, people are jumping in front of you and saying, hey, you want to try this? You want to try this? There's pressure. Interesting. What school do you go to? All right, Huey.
Oh, yeah.
Those are probably my kids jumping in front of you. Yes?
Getting used.
Getting used, yeah. Okay, so used to get what somebody else wants from you. Especially if you're smart, people will use your brains to get what they want. You make it feel like, yeah, I'm in there. And then you realize actually all they wanted was the A on the test or the B on the test. What else besides being used? Okay, it's easy to throw things out that are pressures. The more challenging thing is for you to identify what it is that are pressures for you. What are those relationship challenges for you? Because you can hear clout, you can hear power, you can hear gossip, but if you've never dealt with gossip, because nobody really gossips about you, it's not like you live a life that everybody wants to talk about. So, yeah, that sounds sad, doesn't it? You live a life that nobody wants to talk about. Then that's not an issue for you. Some people would actually like people to actually talk about them, because then they'd feel like they existed. That maybe they were on planet Earth, but nobody talks to them. They can walk into a classroom and sit down, and other than the person the teacher's assigned to sit beside them, they don't get any recognition, they don't get any attention, they don't get any love from anybody. Right? So, why are we starting with this? If our whole series is about others first, why are we starting with thinking about the challenges and thinking about the things that go on in our lives? Because it's very clear, you can't deny this, you're going to learn all about it in university. Psychology. They teach you, if you can't deal with yourself first, you can't deal with other people. Because we act out of our own selfish desires. We act out of our own heart wishes and wants. When somebody bullies, they bully for a reason. When somebody gossips, they gossip for a reason. When somebody draws everybody to them and wants to pull all of the energy in the room towards them, it's for a reason. When people want to be shy and quiet and sit in a corner, it's for a reason. Behavior is always motivated. Always motivated. The key is to figure out what that motivation is. So if you don't deal with your own motivations and your own inner stuff, then when Jesus says, love your neighbor, that's going to be more challenging than it should be, because you don't even love yourself. Or when he says, love your enemies, well, I have a hard time loving my friends. Now you want me to love my enemies, and I don't even love myself. So how am I supposed to love those people? All through Scripture, we are commanded to put others first, to think of others before ourselves, to think of ourselves less than others, and yet most of us can't do that because we haven't figured out what that means for us. So the next little thought here is, why do we hide? Why do we hide who we really are? Now, I don't mean we have to tell every guts and glory story of every little thing, although I like to do that, but most people don't. But why do you hide? When you're mad at somebody, why do you hide it? Or maybe you only hide it from people you like. And people you don't like, you just rip into them and take a strip up one side, down the other. Why? Because you don't like them, so you don't really care what they think. But you don't show anger or upset towards your friends because you're afraid that they might reject you or push you away or judge you back. So what is it that makes us hide who we truly are? Go ahead, talk. Hey, Matthew. Come up, join over here. Come on, sit on the arm of the chair over there. Is there room for three on the love seat there?
The love seat.
Yeah, it's a love seat. Love seats are small. There you go, Matthew. Okay, we're not talking about hair right now, Miguel. We're talking about why you hide yourself.
That's all. Anything else?
There's more to that than you think. All right, why do we hide? Why do we hide? Why do we hide? Yes.
They may not like who we truly are.
They might not like who we truly are. Okay, why else? Yes.
Because they're like if they don't accept you for who you are and rejection.
So rejection, fear of rejection, being rejected by people if they know who you really were. What else? Why else are we afraid? Why do we hide? Yeah.
Because it's easier.
Oh, it's way easier, isn't it? Yeah. Okay? It's way easier than dealing with stuff. Just hide. What else? Okay, we're going to look at six things. And what I want you to do in your journal is I want you to be thinking, is this me or is this not me? Is this me? Is this not me? One of the big reasons why people hide, because we don't like who we are. So, is that you? Are there things about you that you hide? Because I remember the first time I found out that my dad did all the knitting in the family. What? And all the macrame, and all the hanging baskets, and all the stuff. And he was a big man and a burly man, and he built things, hammered things. But one day he came home from a trip, and he had this burl table and this macrame hanging thing that went all the way up to the ceiling. And I'm like, do you make that, Dad, or did you buy it? And he goes, that's what I do in the hotels when I'm traveling. Is there's nothing better to do. I don't go drinking with the guys. I just sit and do my macrame. And I was like, my dad's weird. Right? That judging, that looking and going, whoa, okay, that was not expected. Why was he hiding it? I'm not sure. He never did tell me why he hid it. He said, well, maybe you're just too stupid to notice I made everything in the house, right? I don't know. I was pretty dumb as a kid.
Probably not.
Hammer, nail, and somebody's head. Why not? Let's see if it works.
What?
Yeah, it's just my childhood. You think it's bad now. Should have grown up in the 70s. Okay, so we don't like who we are. Write down whether or not that's true of you. Do you like... Now, it's easy to go, well, I like most of me. Okay, but what is it that you don't like? Be because the most of you like isn't going to be a problem. It's the little bit you don't like that's going to cause the issues. That's going to cause you to hide. That's going to cause you not to tell people the truth about yourself. So is it true of you? Is it not true of you? Number two, we're afraid people won't accept us. That's a big fear. And here's the interesting part. As Christians, what would be the biblical response to that fear? As people who know Jesus, what's the biblical response to that fear? Anybody know? Anybody read their Bible? Anybody know what the Bible would say? Miguel, what would the Bible say? Your mom's calling. Sorry, I interrupted a mom call. No, he's not joking. What would the Bible say? They rejected who? Jesus. And they will reject you. So the Bible says nobody's going to accept you and like you. Nobody accepted and liked Jesus. Yet what is the number one thing we all want to be? Liked, accepted. And the Bible says if you know Jesus, all bets are off. And yet we struggle every day to be liked and to be accepted by people who the Bible tells us will never accept us. Oh, they might on the surface, but as soon as we start telling them about God, or we start sharing our life about Jesus, or we start saying, no, we don't want to do this, or no, we don't do that, we don't gossip, we don't lie, we don't do these things, then they just dismiss us because why would I have you around? You don't want to do all the things I do. We should be so different that we are rejected by pretty much everybody but other people who love Jesus. And even then, I know some Christians who are so Jesus followers, other people look at them and go, they're not real. They're fake. They're just making that up. They don't love Jesus the way they say they do. Just wait till they fall. Why are we looking for reasons to pull even our fellow believers down? Right? Because we're more afraid of whether people will accept us or reject us than we are whether God will accept us or reject us. So is that you? Do you have a great fear of being accepted, of not having any friends? Of being by yourself in the classroom, in the school, in the cafeteria, walking home, walking back to school? Is that a fear of yours? Is that something that you struggle with, that you want to have friends? You're willing to even break all the rules just to have a friend. You're willing to... I just interviewed a grade 12 student, and he said to me, I said, oh, so do you take drugs? Do you drink? Do you do alcohol? It was an interview question, and he goes, only when my friends ask me to. I was like, well, that's a Christian guy. What does that mean? And he goes, well, I'm willing to try anything once. And I said, so if somebody comes up, offers you a hit of cocaine, he goes, yeah, I'll give it a shot. Wow. And you want to be part of my leadership program this summer and influence young lives. Okay, well, sounds to me like you're pretty much under the influence of all the people around you. But for him, it was this, well, no, I just want to fit in. They asked me to do it, I'll try it once. If I don't like it, I won't do it again. I said, what if you like it? He goes, then I'll keep doing it. We laugh at that, but I bet there's people sitting in this room that would do the very same thing. When somebody gossips, we start gossiping with them. Why? We know it's wrong, but we do it anyway. So we want to fit in. We want to be socially acceptable. Jesus followers are not socially acceptable. They're freaks. That's the way God designed it. But we still struggle with that, and I'm not minimizing the struggle. I wanted to fit in all my life. But I was the geeky guy who went to sailing club on Tuesdays and Thursdays and sailed sailboats around the lake. What? Are you mocking me again, Ryan? That is so wholesome, but yet only the geeky kids went to the sailing club, right? I used to follow the custodian around in our elementary school and help him pick up garbage at lunch. And everybody's like, why do you do that? And they're like, because you're all a bunch of jerks and nobody's nice to me. But the custodian's nice to me. At least I can go and look like I'm doing something to avoid having to deal with everybody else. What about number three? Fear of our issues being exposed. What if somebody knows that I'm struggling with my gender identity? That I'm not sure I like being a boy or a girl? What happens if I tell people I watch pornography? What happens if I tell people I struggle with depression? What happens if I tell people I'm anxious? We've had a stigma around mental health for many, many years, but in the last 10 years, it's become way more open to talk about things, but it's still something that we hide. I have my cutters in grade 6 and 7 that still cut their wrists, cut their thighs, cover it up, wear long sleeves. Why? They don't want people to know they're cutting. And yet, there's other kids in the class who cut too that they don't even know cut because nobody wants to expose it, nobody wants to show it. Because those are issues that we don't want people to know we struggle with. Family situations, fighting at home, parents fighting all the time, or parents split up and fighting over you, or alcoholic fathers. Got a lot of those in my class. The kids will just say, yeah, sorry about the signature. He was really drunk when he signed it. And I'm like, yeah, that looks pretty drunk. Is that really his name? And he goes, no, he tried to print it too, but you could see he couldn't dot the I, right? And I'm just like, but they talk about it matter-of-factly. Yeah, my dad's drunk every night. That's just the way my life goes. He's never sober. Right? Do we talk about our issues, or are we afraid of being exposed? You decide. Write it down. Yeah, you gotta open your journal. You gotta write it down. I know. I don't want to be honest. Yeah, nobody reads your journal but you. Unless you give it to me to read. I don't read it. Where's your journal? Yeah, you gotta get up and go get it, Mr. Burger Boy. Get over there. Yeah, I'm still waiting to have supper. Get over there. Yeah, I'm going to make you walk, yeah. Matthew, is yours over there? Are you sure? Did you take it home and you forgot to bring it back? Because there will be one over there with your name on it. I know that. I wrote the names on them all. Number four. my favorite one. You've been burned in the past. So I'm not saying a thing. I shared. You told me to share. I sat up there and shared, and everybody's made fun of me ever since. Or I finally told everybody that I struggle with this, and bam, everybody looks at me differently now. Everybody treats me differently. I told a counselor one time about my problems, and then everybody in the school found out. Okay, well, everybody in the school probably didn't find out, but maybe a teacher found out, and the teacher asked you, and then you feel like everybody found out. I get it, being burned, that's huge. I've tried very hard all my life not to burn people who've shared things with me, which is probably why a lot of people share a lot of things with me. I hope. It's because they can trust that I'm not going around talking about those things to other people. But if you've ever been burned, you know the feeling. And it's not going to happen again. And so you shut down. You clamp up. I shared that with you. You went and told my parents. I'm never telling you anything again. Right? Or I told you as a friend, you went and told somebody else. Well, they're your friend too. I didn't want them to know. But now they know. Now multiple people know. All right? What about number five? We feel we are the only ones who feel like we do. There's a beautiful song in the musical Seussical called Alone in the Universe. I'm alone in the universe. And a lot of times we feel that, like that, that we're the only one, nobody else would ever understand. And the last one, hiding gives us a feeling of power. How does hiding give us a feeling of power? Well, when people don't know what our reasons are for why we do what we do, when they notice that our behavior's off or that we're not participating, we're not cooperating and they challenge us, we can actually use that back against them. So some of my kids will say, you don't know, I have anxiety. And I'm like, I just asked you to move your chair over there, right? But it becomes power because now I can use that against other people. I can use the diagnosis or the term or how I'm feeling against people. And I can say, you did that to me. You shouldn't do that to me. And all of a sudden, people have to respond to that because it's like, whoa, 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 I wasn't trying to offend you. I wasn't trying to hurt you. I wasn't trying to... But we use it against people. You just don't understand. You don't know what I've been through. Well, actually, no, I have no idea because you've never told me, right? But you use that to your advantage. Okay, so why talk about all these things? Why talk about hiding our real self? Oh, yeah, okay. So, what I want you to do is I want you to tell somebody beside you one secret that is not true about you. So I want you to make up something that sounds really juicy, but it's not true. Like, if Michael was my partner, I'd say, you know, Michael, I've really, really suffered with low self-esteem to the point where I've literally peed my pants sitting in front of my classmates when I've been asked to talk. That's it. It's a completely fabricated lie. I've never peed my pants in my class. And as you know, I can speak in front of anybody. It's shutting me up. It's the problem. So, but I... Oh, that sounded juicy, didn't it? Some of you are going, whoa, right? So I want you to tell them something about you that's completely not true, but would be horrible to know about you if it was true. So you're making it up. So think of the most horrible thing you think that person is. All right, go. Say something horrible. Okay, did anybody have a juicy one?
I didn't even start.
Roanne, you got a juicy one? What is it? You're pregnant? You say that all the time to your mom, right? Mom, I'm pregnant. Yeah. Your mom doesn't believe it, we don't believe it. Okay, I'm pregnant. Yeah, oh boy. That would be scary. Okay. Anybody else? What did you share? What was the lie? Nobody else shared a lie? You all just sat there and stared at each other? Jessica, what was your lie?
I didn't
count them. Wow, you can't lie. You can't make... What? Okay, nobody else had a juicy one?
Oh. Hard drugs for 2 years now.
Hard drugs for 2 years.
Crack, cocaine, heroin on the side.
You know, I've seen that glazed over look in your eyes.
There's a reason why I always wear long sleeves.
And glasses. Because your glasses are tinted to hide the red. Yeah. See, what's interesting about lying, when we have to give a really good lie that isn't really true, the person listens to us and they're like, yeah, like, sure, you've been on drugs for 2 years. The thing is, that's what we all do about our lives all the time. We don't tell people the truth about us. We're constantly living a lie. It may not be as grand as, you know, I've been on crack cocaine for 2 years. But we're not telling people the truth. When they say, oh, how you doing? You go, fine. When you're not fine, hey, how do you feel? Good. Do you? Or do we just say things to get people to move on? Because if they stop, they're going to ask us more depth questions. Like, I'm looking at Brianna and Leah and Miguel and Gabe and Michael, Ronald. What do they really know about you as your youth leaders? Have you ever told them anything? other than I'm pregnant and I'm on drugs. And they've been with you now September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. 9 months. And what do they really know about you? Do they know anything about your lives? Do they know anything about your struggles? Uh-oh, Gabe's leaving. I just offended him.
I don't want to know.
Tell me the truth. I'm out of here.
No.
So what do we do? Okay. How do we get ourselves to a point where we can actually make a difference, helping other people, putting other people first, challenging other people? We're going to get into that next week because there's some very practical things you can start doing. But the first thing we have to do is recognize about ourselves. And the first thing is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short. The verse says all have sinned. So everybody sitting in this room has sinned. So when we struggle with things or we're challenged by things, the Bible's pretty clear that everybody else is doing the same thing. Nobody lives a perfect life. Some of us come closer than others, but most, no, I'm just kidding, we don't. So when we fall or when we struggle with things, when we're having difficulty with stuff, so is half the world. So is three-quarters, so is the whole world struggling with things. And the sooner we understand that you're sinful, that you're not going to get it right, you're going to make mistakes, you're not perfect, that should free you up. That should make you go, whew, okay, screwed that up, but so does half the world. I'm okay. I'll get over it. I can move past it. Oh, I struggle with that? Hey, probably three-quarters of the world struggles with that, but nobody will tell you. I'm not alone. There are other people. Now, that doesn't justify it. It doesn't mean, hey, he gets drunk, I get drunk. We all get drunk. That's just because we're fallen. We're sinful. No, but what it's saying is when we make mistakes, when we struggle, when we have challenges, we don't have to hide it because the Bible told us that we will have those struggles. You're not going to be able to get away with it. God says we're all going to struggle. We're all going to have those moments where we look at things. And then he tells us in Titus 3:11, you're also flawed and imperfect. Wow, what a great feeling. I thought you said we were fearfully and wonderfully made and that God made us perfect. Yeah, he did. But in Titus 3:11 it says, you may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. And who is that people? Those are the people, you and I, who live in this world. We're warped. We're what's the other word? Self-condemned. We're sinful. We're going to screw up. So when you come and say something to me, you say, oh, can I talk to you? Yeah, I want to tell you about something I'm struggling with. I might screw that up. I might look at you and maybe I snicker. And you're like, wow, you're laughing at my problem. Maybe I just had an itch. I don't know. But don't assume that just because it's me, a pastor, your parent, your best friend, that they're going to always handle everything perfectly, because they're not. They're going to make mistakes as well. But that doesn't mean we stop being who we truly are, or we stop reaching out, or we stop asking for help. We just got to learn to give some people some slack when they mess it up. Somebody came to me the other day, one of our youth, and said, hey, you know, I approached one of the leaders and I shared something with him, and he just kind of looked at me and then he went off and did whatever he was doing. And I'm like, okay, well, that might have been a little uncomfortable, what you shared with him. Well, I know, but why did he just walk away? Did I say he? Sorry. Why did they just walk away? Well, because not always does everybody know how to respond. Because we're all imperfect. We all struggle with how we're going to relate, how we're going to respond. And maybe they've never struggled with that themselves. And so when they heard you say something, you're like, whoa, I don't know what to do with that. So what's the easier thing to do? Walk away, right? Okay, thanks for sharing. See you later. Let's go play basketball. Let's go shoot hoops, right? Because they're uncomfortable around it. Because the Bible says we're all kind of warped. We're all sinful. We're all kind of a mess. Well, the third thing is we're God's design. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The number one issue I have to deal with young people and young adults is a lack of self-acceptance of who they are. It is so difficult to accept who you are. And I get that. It was hard for me when I was your age as well. To look at what I looked like you probably don't understand, like, I hadn't ever told all of my story, but when I was 11, 12, going into grade 8, so I would have been 13, I weighed as much then as I do now, 240 pounds. I was Mr. Porker. And I helped out in the cafeteria. Why? Because you got free food when you volunteered in the cafeteria. Hamburger day, you got the free hamburger and fries. On pancake day, you got the free pancakes. And I would eat and eat and eat, and then all of a sudden, because my dad was about, I don't know, we never, as far as we know, there's never been a scale that could actually measure his weight. It would have to be a horse scale or a cow scale or some more of an industrial scale, so he was probably somewhere. We ventured about 350 to 450 pounds. So he's a big guy. And so my mom's like, you are not going to be like your father. And I used to look at my dad and like, how does that make you feel, right? You're not going to be like you. Well, I certainly am, because I'm still eating, aren't I? And I'm 13 years old. And I ended up at Children's Hospital. And you even learn how to fake the system. So they have these calipers. They're really painful. They put them here, and then they tighten them and squeeze until they squeeze the amount of fat you have there. And they record it by micrometer, how much fat you have. And they do all over your body. This one's big, right? That's a big measurement. They measure all over. And they record it all, and then the dietitians and everything plan a diet that you then have to follow, and every week you have to go all the way down to Children's Hospital and you'd have to be weighed. Well, we learned a few things. You weigh different in the morning than you do at night. Does anybody know when you weigh heavier?
At night, right?
So, hey mom, could we go to Children's in the morning this week? Oh, okay, sure, we'll go in the morning, right? Oh, look, I'm down a pound and a half. When I really wasn't, because we didn't measure at night. We measured at night the week before, right? And I was heavier the night before. So, oh, it's ice cream on the way home, because we met our goal, right? We manipulate. But I tell you, when you are fighting through something that's challenging and your mother pours the 17 Cheerios into the bowl and the little half cup of milk, and you're like looking at that going, that's not even enough to feed a baby. Like, how am I going to get through the day on that? But you do. You get through the day, and very regimented, and able to lose about 65, maybe 70 pounds over the course of the year that I was back and forth down to Children's. So by going into grade 9, I actually moved. Grade 8, I ran the my PE teacher called Mr. Morioka. He said, you are the first 15-minute mile runner I've ever taught. 15 minutes to go around the track 4 times. That's really slow if you don't know how long it takes to run around the track. And so by grade 9, I was down to about 10 minutes, and by the time I graduated, probably down around 6 or 7 minutes. But it's a constant struggle for me to keep my weight off. And when I would read that verse as a kid, going, yeah, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, thanks God, it's every fat cell on me just balloons every time I eat. I don't like how I feel. I don't like the jokes that people make about me. But you battled. I battled. Thankfully, I had parents that wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to go through life like my father, having to deal with cars that don't fit. You know, I can't get in certain cars because it couldn't fit between the steering wheel and the seat, even if it was in its furthest position back. I remember when he had his heart attack in the kitchen, and my mom was away at women's retreat, and I was staying there, and I remember the firemen coming and looking, going, we're not sure how to get him out of here. And is that not embarrassing? As you're laying there having a heart attack, about to die, and the firemen are going, oh, I'm not sure, we can't get him down the stairs. And eventually they slid him out the back door on the deck, and then, because that was higher level, and then rolled him all the way around, because there were no stairs on the outside of the house. It was just a hill. But that's embarrassing. That's hard. And it's even embarrassing for me as a kid looking at my dad and thinking, yikes, right? Was he fearfully and wonderfully made? Absolutely. God knew that before he was born, that he was going to be that size and that weight, and that he was going to struggle with his own issues. And you think, why would God do that to me? Why would God give me anxiety? Why would God make me feel like I don't fit in my body? Why would God make me feel like I need to watch things on the computer that aren't appropriate? Why did God give me this? Did God give me that? And yet he turns around and says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Really? Don't see it. I don't see it. And more young people never track with Jesus fully because they can't get over this hurdle. They just can't. Oh, they'll say, oh yeah, no, God loves me. He loves me just the way I am. But they go home and they look in the mirror and they're like, why, God? Because they don't really accept it. They don't. Now, here's the good news. God knows you don't accept it. You're not hiding from him. Because you can't. And so he knows. If you don't feel fearfully and wonderfully made, I think he knows that. So you might as well just come clean and start talking about it and get help to understand why certain things happen in our life. Now, I'll tell you right now, I can't tell you all the answers. Sometimes you got to wait 25 or 30 years, maybe 40 years, before it finally all makes sense. Because God doesn't promise he will tell you why you are the way you are now. But there are people and stories and lots of them of people who never understood why. Has anybody watched Adventures in Odyssey? Anybody listen to it on Focus on the Family? Love my Adventures in Odyssey, okay? I am like a buff, so I know everything. But the girl who plays Connie Kendall has this really squeaky voice. And whenever she's interviewed, that's her real voice. And she said, oh, I grew up so teased about my voice. And then somebody said, you should be a voice actor because that is such a unique voice. That would be amazing. And she's had about a 50-year career now because her voice has never changed. She's still that same squeaky voice, which has allowed her to be characters in cartoons and in movies reoccurring year after year after year because that was actually her voice. A lot of voice actors age out. They sound really good when they're 10, 11, then their voice changes and be like, oh, thank you, see you later. Your voice is not the voice we hired. And they go find somebody else. Sometimes we won't know what our unique qualities are and where they will take us until we become an adult and we look back and go, wow, had no idea. John 8:32, you got to start being truthful. That's point number two. Stop lying. Stop hiding. Stop thinking you're the only person. Start telling the truth. Because John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's fascinating. I wish I could tell you who shared with me last week, but the fascinating thing was they said, when I realized that I was not living the way God designed me, I was blaming all of my depression, all of my anxiousness, all of my relational problems. I was blaming it all on God, when in actual fact, I was living so out of his purpose and his plan for my life that all of those things were happening because I wasn't living the way God wanted me to live. And the moment I moved over to the way God wanted me to live and accept myself for who I am, the depression went away, the anxiety went away. I started seeing things completely differently and my life became far more positive and far more encouraging. Because when we lie, we build and we build and we build and nobody is able to step in and give us any assistance. Connect with trusted adults. Now, I chose this verse, and people go, how did you choose that one? Then the king will say to those on his right, come and you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. How does that verse fit, connect with trusted adults? It's because if you are a believer in Jesus, then you're supposed to be looking out for all those people. And it doesn't just stop with clothing the hungry, you feed the hungry, clothing the naked and visiting those in prison. Those are just some of the things God listed. He could have made that list huge. He could have said, hey, how about sitting and talking to the kid with no friends? How about sitting there and helping the person who's struggling with anxiety? How about sitting there and talking to the person who's struggling with their identity? You do it unto these, you do it unto me. Jesus' command wasn't just about the lonely, the lost, the hungry, the clothed, the prison people. It was about everybody that needs to know and see Jesus. And you and I are supposed to be that Jesus to those people. So you should have connected, trusted adults who you have seen are people that do that. That they help, that they assist, that they come alongside. And you should be opening up relationships with them and building those relationships, because those are the people that will help you through in life. Now, hopefully it's a mom. Hopefully it's a dad. Dads rank way lower on the scale. Teenagers will say about 52% rank mom as one of their go-tos. Dads are at 16%. Peers appear above moms. Pastors, they're way down at 2%, right? So they're like completely off the grid. But most kids, fathers don't, not a great relationship. Mothers tend to be a better relationship. But even then, they might not know Jesus. They might not know God. So when you have issues about God or issues about your walk with Jesus, how can they help you? Then you got to find some others. My rule of thumb, you need 3 minimum trusted adults other than your parents that you can talk to. So who are you talking to? And the last one is pour your heart out to God. The book of Psalms is full of these, David just pouring out his heart. And I started doing this a while back. I'm not a big story writer, but I've written a few short stories. And they've usually been at my lowest point where I just didn't know what to do. So I started writing it in story form. But David, all through the Psalms, he just laments. He pours his heart out. And a lot of the times it's when he's feeling attacked. Some of the times it's when he just doesn't understand what God's doing. But he just pours his heart out. And nowhere in the book of Psalms or anywhere else in the Bible do I ever find God say, stop that. Quit your whining. Stop your complaining. Well, he did that a little bit with the Israelites, but that was for a whole other reason. That's because they just didn't like eating the same food every day. Me, that would have been heaven. But, you know, I digress. So, when was the last time that you poured out your soul to God? Now, I've given you those journals at the beginning of the year because, for me, I got to journal it. I got to write it out. I write out the painful things. I write out the joyful things. As I say, sometimes I write it in story form. But I write. Now, some people have other ways that they get it out. Some people are song. They write it in song and they sing songs. Some people see counselors and they talk to a counselor about it. Some people, what would other people do? I don't know. What would other people do? Write songs, write in a journal.
Draw,
yeah, art therapy, art, drawing things, drawing how you feel, because you can't actually say how you feel. So, pour out your heart to God. He's absolutely able to take it. He's okay when we don't like the way we are. And he says, yeah, just tell me. Tell me what you don't like. Tell me what the struggles are. Tell me what it is that you need in your life. So, you're going to journal right now as we close. And what I want you to do is answer one of these 3 questions or all 3 of the questions. Or you can write about something else. But you're going to pray, Jesus, I ask you to reveal. Now, for those of you that are new to this, we just sit and listen and we just close our eyes and we go, okay, God, what do you want to tell me? And say, well, that's just my imagination. Well, it could be. But you won't know until you write it down. So what's God going to say to you? When you ask Jesus, what am I hiding about myself that I'm too afraid to admit or show to others? Write it down. Put it on paper. Say, this is what I'm hiding. Maybe nothing comes to mind. Good. Move to the next question. What part of your design am I not accepting? What part of how God created you are you not accepting? Ask Jesus to reveal that. Or, number three, what part of me do you want me to reveal about myself to someone else? Who's an adult that I can trust with it? So maybe it's something I've been struggling with for a long time and I've never shared with anybody. Then ask Jesus, what is it that you want me to tell the truth about? What is it that you want to free me up about? And who could that be? Who could that person be that I could go talk to about this? Because I've carried this far too long in my own life. I need to get it out. I need to stop hiding it. I need to let somebody in on my secrets. So just journal about it. Think about it. I'm going to play one song. I think it's 3 minutes and 42 seconds long. So that's the only time I'm going to give you to journal. The rest of the time, it's up to you. Now, we haven't done this in a long time, so I feel a little disconnected to all of you, but where can we help? What do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to help you with? Okay, I'm going to put the prayer cards out, or you can say, here's my journal. Would you read my entry today? Help me figure out what I wrote about, whatever. Or you can just, nope, I don't want you to know what's going on. That's fine, too. I've never forced myself on any of you. That's a complete choice that you make. Do you want to share it or not? So, the song is... makes me cry every time I hear the song. It won't make you cry, I'm sure. You'll probably go, really? It's about a cricket. No, I'm just kidding. The song is called Worn. And it basically, as it's talking, it's like, I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the things I'm hiding behind. I'm tired of life. It just wears me out. Just trying to get up every day is a challenge. Just trying to go through life is a challenge. My life has not been easy. Now, let me say one last thing before I put the song on. If life is great for you, celebrate that. Write it down. Actually, God, I'm not hiding anything. Good. Tell God. Thank you, God, that I'm not hiding anything. Thank you that I've dealt with my stuff. Thank you that I have good people in my life that I talk to regularly. I got a tongue lashing just this last Saturday from my three mentors. What are you doing? Smack, smack, smack. Now, they didn't physically hit me in the white spot because they could have been arrested, I'm sure. But they gave me a good tongue lashing because of something I did. And they're like, you're an idiot. Like, how many times have we told you, check with us before you do stuff like that? I'm like, I know, but it just felt like the right thing to do. And they're going, the feelings again. Back to the heart. Would you stop letting your heart drive you? You've got to check in first. That's why I have those people in my life. They saved me from a whole lot of pain. Because I talk to them regularly. Okay, so I'll shut up now. You have 3 minutes and 52 seconds to try and be honest. And you love us. You know the struggles we go through. You know the challenges we face. And God, you are the only way we will ever understand any of this. When we see the death and destruction, the drug abuse, the gangs, the street life that goes on here in Surrey and around the world, when we see the depression, the starvation, the pain and suffering all around the world, God, we realize that it's because man does not acknowledge the God who created them. That we don't understand the purpose and value that we have as a result of being created in your image. So God, as we start this series, we have to first look ourselves in the mirror and decide, do I like and accept who I am so that I can now go and be your light in the world to help others? I can be of no help to others if I have nothing to offer them, God. And that doesn't mean I have to be perfect or accept everything about myself, but God, it has to mean that I love you, that I accept your plan and your purpose, and that I'm going to take both my weaknesses and my strengths and I'm going to use them to help other people see that hope comes through Jesus. God, thank you for each one here tonight. Thank you for the journeys they're on. Thank you that we're just a small part when we come together every week. Go with us. Give us strength and courage to live truthfully, to not hide, and to be who you created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have